Father, we thank you for the precious word of God. And Lord, when it comes to understanding this, it is a mystery to the world. And it's to be a mystery, a lot of things, to the children of God, but God wants to reveal to his people by his Spirit to understand the mysteries of our day that were in days past, men could not understand them. We don't look at things tonight where many things were talked about the future and people looked at it but couldn't understand when God brought it about, because in the mystery of what he was doing, he did something that the Old Testament saints could not get together because they just didn't understand all they needed to know about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so tonight I pray you bless us as we might grow in grace and knowledge, Lord. I thank God for the stirring of our heart, but I know this, you teach us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, and that means in-depth Bible study, and that means at times we have to do more than just read casually or study casually. And I pray you bless us tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. I thought about this at the time, and I run across something in years past which talked about what I fits and where I want to be at. And I found out, as I looked at this message now, this is true even more so than ever before. And it goes something like this. I asked for strength, and God gave difficulties to me to be strong. I asked God for wisdom, and God gave me problems to solve. I asked God for prosperity, and God gave me a brain and opportunity to work. I asked God to give me courage, and God gave me danger to overcome. I asked God for love, and God gave me a troubled people to help. I asked God for favors, and God gave me opportunities to serve him. And I received nothing that I wanted, but I received everything that I needed. Amen. And I believe that's true when it comes to life. I really believe with all my heart that God Almighty knows what's going on. And I just talked to Dr. White this morning. He was hit a verse of scripture in Acts I've been looking at lately. Because in my age now, I wonder why, and I just said tonight, I wonder why is it that when your heart really sold out and you just forsake everything and you start out for God, and then all of a sudden doors just start closing. And it's hard to understand that. You'd think, man alive. And God said labors are few. If he had labors, he certainly began to open a lot of doors when you began to go. But I've found this out. God has a purpose. And you have to be in the center of that purpose for God to bless. He knows what we can do. He knows what we cannot do. And sometimes the things that we think we can do, if we try to do them, they won't come out right for God. So you have to start in a direction to know that God will show you where you mean that or not. And in turn, he will begin to open doors. Because I'll be honest with you, and I told Dr. Muddy this morning, the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, and I'm working on a message on this to around this now, when he started where he was started, he was going to preach the gospel wherever he went. And he was being treated pretty bad everywhere he went. But he had decided to go towards a certain place, and he started in that place, and he felt God led him in that place. But when he got to a certain place, he found out God did not lead him there. He led himself. But even Paul, though, didn't mind that because he was preaching the gospel of Christ everywhere he went. But to be in God's purpose, we want to be, for our length of time, be used the most for the Lord. And so you find when Paul was going one time to a certain place, and I have just to go, just to hit into the message tonight, that the Holy Spirit stopped him and refused to let him go there because he had a direction he wanted him to go that God knew more than what Paul did. And I believe it on my heart, what I've seen so far, that had he not went in that direction, I don't know whether we'd ever got the gospel like we had or not. And I'm so thankful now, look where we are, and because Paul, though he went in a direction and God stopped him, the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him go no further, and then he called him over to Macedonia, and from there started, and many souls were saved, and from there the gospel moved more towards the west, and later in England, and then look where we're at today, even what we're talking about 2,000 years later. God has a purpose, folks. And no doubt, in God's mind, he knows, he wants us to know and show us whether we mean business or not. Because if we really mean business, we will start out, and wherever we go, do ever what God calls us to do, but not be upset when God closes the door and reroutes us another way. You sometimes won't know what that purpose is until the time comes. He gets you where he wants you to be, and then that's when you look back at that path that he led you, and you say, I'm so glad God led me this way, because not knowing the other way, it must not have been the right way, and this way by following God. So if you decide to do something for the Lord and he suddenly tries to stop you from doing that, just keep in mind he's got a purpose for you. And if you want to do what you want to do where you're at and he closes the door, then don't back off. I thought about that. Probably a lot of folks, when Paul went this place, and the Holy Spirit stopped him a few times, and then that voice called, before he heard the voice, he might have went back home. But he didn't. He's going to serve God wherever he's at until the Lord took him home. And of course, he took him home through the extra depth. So now, if you look with me in Ephesians chapter 1, we'll just read down a few verses. And I want to start go with me to verse 3. We'll look in verse 3 down to verse 9. He said, according as his throat chosen us. Well, let's go back. Verse 3 said, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And according to as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Isn't that interesting? He did that before the foundation of the world. You see, he saw us. He knew whether we'd serve him or not. And this is where it gets your mind. This is beyond anything that most people look at. God is running this show, and sometimes it looks like Satan's taking over, but he can never take over. God's already got planned out from the beginning. And he knows those who will, and he'll bless those, and he'll use those in Satan's face. He's got his people who will give themselves to him. And he said that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to his good pleasure. Watch as we read these verses now and get down to verse 9. He said, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in his beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. And then makes all these things he said, wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom. He gave us and gone beyond all, notice the word all wisdom. He has given us wisdom to apply knowledge correctly that he gives us. And he says, and prudence, wisdom and prudence. Now prudence is just exercise good judgment that has common sense behind it. And then he said, having made known, watch out all these other verses, what God has done. And then he says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Isn't it amazing? God delights in the age of grace to make known the mystery of his will. And of course, he said, according to his good pleasure, which he has purpose in himself. He has a purpose, it's in himself. Now, I like the word mystery, because the word mystery we look at in this time, it's not exactly what God's mystery in the Scripture. And mystery in the Scripture simply means a Bible truth hidden in the past that whereas reveals today by God's grace that what is going on. And so we see things in the age of grace today through the church and by the Holy Spirit that people in the Old Testament could not see. If you look in chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, you see again the Apostle Paul goes further. And he talks about it, and he said, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. He said, I'm in prison now because I'm preaching the cross of Jesus Christ and going to the Gentiles. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. There it is again, as I wrote afore in a few words. Whereby when you read it, ye understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And he said, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. What is that? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. What is this mystery? It is the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15 tells us it's the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, without that being done, there's no use to try to explain that mystery in the Old Testament because they could have never got it. They've never seen even the Holy Spirit try to get it because they were wrapped up in the judicial system that was happening at that time. And then you see in chapter 3, and he says, verse 9, down a few verses, he said, make all men to see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church to the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose, which is the purpose in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we see that he keeps on telling us things to take place. If you look in chapter 6 and down about verse 19 and 20, notice again in chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20, Paul said to the church at Ephesus, and for me, he said, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, and which I'm ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. In other words, in God's will, he has given the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which has not been seen before, and he's in prison for that. He's not in prison because he's a gangster. He's in prison for obeying God in something the world cannot understand, and yet there was many receiving the gospel of Christ, and they knew what it was to be born again. I see in Colossians, again, I've given this a number of verses in chapter 1, verse 24 and 27. Here's what God's word says again. And Paul speaks, he said, "Now, who now rejoicing in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." Paul said, hey, I saw Tarsus, met the Lord on the road to Damascus, had no idea what was going on, but God has given me these instructions and direction to preach the mystery of God, which he tells us now is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. That's what got him in trouble. The Jews didn't like it much, but they would accept it a little bit, for Jews were a number of Jews were being saved. But now when he talked about the gospel, they had a trouble. That's when they had that summit down in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. And he said, and then watch what he tells us, that the mystery among the Gentiles, what is that mystery among the Gentiles? It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to speak to you on the mystery of God's will. The mystery of God's will. When you study the book of Ephesians, you will read that the mystery of God's will is the mystery of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was hid from the Old Testament prophets because they only thing they could talk about that God was going to save the Gentiles, they knew that. He was going to have something to do with the Gentiles in prophecy, but they didn't see how it was going to work at that time. What is this mystery that's mentioned in the book of Ephesians that God the Father wants all his children to know about? We just saw in Ephesians chapter 1, if you look back with me again just for a moment for base touches, you see in chapter 1 that he talks about this in verse 16 through 23. Notice verse 16. Well, go back and we see verse 15. He said, "Wherefore I also have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you," watch this, "the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God." That's important, folks. Paul said, my desire to you now to understand this gospel, that he would give you not only to understand this mystery, but also give revelation about this. And he goes on and he says, "The eyes of your understanding been enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the work of his mighty work." Ladies and gentlemen, this world don't have a clue at all what God is doing for you and I when we study this book. Do you know that? Right there is a powerful thing that God unravels for our heart to understand. God is doing all we do is obey him by getting the gospel out, and he's doing a marvelous thing in the age of grace today. The only thing about it, we in America, like the words in Athens were in the book of Acts in 17. They were so smart, they began to question everything. Instead of accepting it, they began to accuse Paul of preaching about an unknown God. Well, that's what he was. He had a right to. They even had an order that said an unknown God there. And so he goes on, he said, "Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him up in his right hand in heavenly places. And so we see that what is this mystery? We know it's the mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6, verse 39 and 40, Christ told us something about the will of God that fits this in line too. This is the will of God. This is that will that he talks about in Hebrews chapter 10 too. But let's look in John chapter 6 for just a moment and look down about verse 39 and 40 and see what Jesus said. here, 39:40. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, he says. And this is the Father's will, verse 39. This is the Father's will which has sent me, that all which he had given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Isn't it amazing? Notice the one, everyone. How in the world can the nation of Israel look at the New Testament and read it at all without understanding that God included them individually, not as a nation? The nation set aside, and he's going to deal with the Israel as a nation again. But in the age of grace, now God saves the Jew and the Gentile alike. And he sets that as a mystery. The Jews wouldn't accept that as a nation because they keep looking back what the Old Testament Leviticus system was. But now Jesus came, and Paul is the many. In fact, even Jesus Christ was the one that didn't try to unravel this at all. He mentioned that the Gentiles would be saved, but he didn't explain it because God used the Apostle Paul to explain it, and he called him as a ministry in the Scriptures. If you look over if you look with me in chapter 3 again, and we look down a few verses, he talks about he talks about that the Gentiles should be fellow. Look in verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ to the gospel. I mean, the Gentiles to be saved is no mystery, but how they were to be saved is a mystery because they were going to be included in a message of the gospel of Christ that would come where Israel could receive the Messiah, but God knew they would not receive the Messiah. So the mystery is hid in God with a divine purpose. It was to make God the Jew. It shows that God was going to let Jew and Gentile be in the same body, which is the church, which he set up. And this was a new thing, which is the church of the body of Christ. And of course, the Jewish Gentile coming into the body, the revelation of this mystery, which was foretold, explained by Christ, at least he foretold, but never explained completely by Christ, because you go to Paul's writings in Matthew 16:18, Christ mentioned it one time, but you go to Paul's writing, and God committed this mystery to Paul, and in the writing alone, we find the doctrine, we find the position, we find the walk, and we find the destiny of what the gospel will do for those who believe in it and receive it as their personal Savior. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, this is still the will of God. He said, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. And I love this, once for all. It's never to repeat it again. It don't have to. What God does, if you get it, you get it. And it's not something that's haphazard either. And if you get it, you know you got it if you got it. And God who lives in our heart by his Holy Spirit, who represents the Godhead, he will show us the things about this new birth. And so God's eternal purpose is to have redeemed sinners separated and distinct from sinners who are not redeemed. And there is a difference. You hear what I said? There's a difference between redeemed sinners and sinners not redeemed. There's a difference in sinners not redeemed and sinners that are redeemed. Either way you look at it, there's a difference. And when it's not a difference that's put on a show like a coat and take it off Monday, but it's a lifestyle difference. We have a constant life in here changing, being reconciled, changing thoroughly from one something to something else, because we change by learning. Once I did not know how to fill out a checkbook, but today I've learned how. You better learn how. Because somebody will say, well, I use my little computer. I don't do that. I can't do that. I haven't learned that yet. But it's there to learn, isn't it? A lot of you do that paid by computer. I'm the old school. But I'm telling you, everything we have changed about our life is what we have learned since we've been physically, born physically. And everything we learn about God, the same way to change us spiritually into that image that God says we are in Christ Jesus until we get home on this. Let me give three quick points, the mystery of God's will. What is the mystery of God's will in the age of grace then? The mystery of the gospel by which believers and sinners are saved according to the Scriptures, we see in 1 Corinthians 15, is the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's death and resurrection was that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. We see that in Luke 24:44-46, and Acts 13, when Peter preached that message in Pisidia and told them about the death of Christ and how that God brought in the Gentiles at that time. We also see this message of Jesus Christ was made known to and by only the New Testament apostles and saints of God. As a matter of fact, when you look at this, it was not made known by Israel's prophets. It wasn't given to Israel's prophets in the Old Testament, other than the fact that Jesus Christ was going to be born. But they didn't go into detail. They were looking for the Messiah to come. And he did come. But God, they missed out that God had a purpose not only for Israel, the Messiah, but he was bringing the whole world into it so that those would be, he's going to have children of God from every face of this earth, I believe, one day on the other side. And we'll see that. And so here, this message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This message is called the unsearchable riches of Christ in Ephesians 3:8. It's meaning untraceable, unprophesized riches or unprophesized riches. There are things that come to this that no one in Old Testament could ever prophesy about because they didn't know nothing about it. And we see that. I mean, to be born in the family of God, they just thought following God and doing what the priest said do, give them a relationship with God. And by the way, it did. They gave the right sacrifice and did all God said do. But let's face it, Israel's nation failed and blew that a number of times. And in the New Testament, we're born into the family of God. We're just not raised earthly in a nation that God brought Abraham to replenish the earth. But we were born through the new birth in Jesus Christ and the gospel that we heard given to us at that time. So this message is called the unsearchable riches of Christ. And then the gospel message was God's secret until after Israel rejected Jesus and his resurrection. In other words, God wouldn't reveal it until Israel rejected the Messiah, because the Messiah is the same one who's going to be Jesus who saved his people from their sin. Messiah is the one going to set on Jesus, who's going to sit on David's throne, but he's also Savior of the world. The Messiah is going to do what God promised, though it hasn't happened yet, when Jesus sets on the throne in Jerusalem in the millennial reign. But you and I are not going to be there ruling, being ruled over. We're going to be there ruling with. Isn't that amazing? God had the church set forth to rule and reign with him. And then when that's over with, we'll all go into glory. And God's final method to get everybody there and not have to worry about these things again. So the mystery is according to God's purpose, eternal purpose, in Jesus Christ. And so here God reveals his secret to the Apostle Paul, who was born out of due season, according to Romans 11:13. And he was chosen by Christ to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Isn't it amazing? Peter went to the Jew. But Peter preached first to the Gentiles in Cornelius' house in Acts 10. But he still went more to the Jew. In fact, I think Peter had a little trouble to some degree how God went to the Gentiles. Because you remember in the book of Galatians, Paul said, I had to get to talk to Peter because here he was preaching Christ to the Jew, to the Gentiles, and suddenly some dignitaries from the nation of Jerusalem came in, and all of a sudden, some of those Jews who had now sided with Gentiles got intimidated, and they went with the Jews rather than stand with the Gentiles, and Paul rebuked Peter. He said, you're saying one thing and doing something else in the book of Galatians. So it's amazing. Number two, it seems that Paul was the only unbeliever. Now hear this. I've searched this out. It seems that Paul was the only, when he was called Saul, he was the only unbeliever, unsaved person on earth who saw Jesus Christ after he was raised from the dead. He met him on the road to Damascus. He was unsaved when he met him. Everyone else Jesus pointed to was those who believed on him. So Paul can be called an apostle because he, though he was not with the 12, God's son still dealt with him just like he did with the 12. The only thing about, he was in a resurrected form, and Paul, who was Saul, was unsaved on the road to Damascus, and he met the Lord unsaved, and of course from there the story changes. He believed, and of course the Lord put him through it because the Lord knows Paul's heart. Someone said, well, you know, God blinded him. I reckon I'd believe too if I knew that happened. Well, there's a lot of things in there we don't understand, but God saw his heart, ladies and gentlemen. And he knew that Saul of Tarsus, who was killing Christians and had a lifestyle in turn that because he was a Jew and because he was a descendant of the Israelites, he hated what was going on, and he would use every energy he had to destroy those Israelites and the system until he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. And God knew his heart. His heart, he would do as much for God as he was doing against God before he got saved. And so it gives me understanding. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, by God's grace, Paul was the Lord's master builder who laid the foundation for the saints of God to build with him. You remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 when he talks about co-labors with the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, it's amazing. Turn that with me just a moment, and you'll see what I'm talking about. He in verse 9, he said, we're co-labors. We're labors together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. According to the grace of God, which he's given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another foundation thereupon. He said, and let every man take heed how he buildeth their own. Someone said not too long, you can't find the word responsibility in the Word of God. But I didn't find where these words tell he had a responsibility, and that was one of them. He simply said this, but let every man take heed how he build thereupon. That's responsibility, ladies and gentlemen. Just like someone said, there's no such thing as a rapture in the Word of God. Don't have to be. You know what? You know what we do? There's nothing wrong in doing this. If you know a doctrine and one word can cover multitudes of words, and you say, when we say rapture, you and I know what we're talking about. When we talk about responsibility, we know what we're talking about. God don't have to have responsibility in the Bible. He just shows that there is responsibility. He don't have to tell us that he don't have to call it a rapture when he calls catch away, but he tells us we're going to be called away. So what happens? Sometimes we can save time by having one word. We all know what is, so we move on to something else. And that's what knowledge does for us when it comes to the Word of God. And so again, Paul was the custodian here of God's divine message and ministry. He suffered an evil doer in chains as the prisoner of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles. We see that in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He talked about it that time. He made this statement that he let them know that he was in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and down about verse 8 and 9. He made this statement. He said, wherein I suffer, he said in verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. He said, I'm bound right now in Rome because I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm suffering for that. I'm bound, but the gospel cannot be bound. Isn't that amazing? He said, hey, you may not let me out the doors, but you can't close my mouth. Well, you can cut your tongue out then. Well, you might could do that. But Paul's the type of way, I don't know. He just said, listen, it's in me, and I'm going to give it out the best way I can. And he did. He did. He never ceased to do it. He also added that others would be partakers of that same affliction when you look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And if you look in verse 8, he makes this statement. He said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. If God, the gospel brings affliction, be thou partakers of that. Don't try to shun that in the sense that you're afraid to do something because it might happen. He said, all of us are going to find ourselves actually suffering because of the cause of Christ. God teaches us this. Yea, in verse 12 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, he said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now let me ask some folks. He didn't say there if you witness. He said if you live godly. Someone said, I don't know if I'm trying to witness. It might be, you're just causing conflict because of the way people are. Listen, he says if you're saved, you're going to suffer persecution. Why not do it for something that God tells us to do then? That is, I don't mean just challenge things, but I mean you just know to go and do what we need to do, what we're able to do, what we're capable of doing, that he might be honored and get glory for it. And then notice the third thing. Notice what God predestined before he ever created anything in time. This is what blesses my heart about this great mystery. He predestined things before he ever created anything, even before Genesis 1, even probably before the angels were created at the time. For God ever created anything, he predestined that members of the body of Christ would be conformed to the image of his Son, and he proves that to us in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. And it's so forceful that you can't deny it the way God puts it out. Look, if you will, let's go look at it again. You know it by heart just about. But if you look in 8, verse 28 and 29, He goes on and he says again, I love this verse because it's a powerful truth. And we know that all things work together for them who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Who he called, them he'll justify. They are justified, they are glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? We know that all things work together to good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. He foreknew and he worked everything out for his glory. And so I'm seeing that these born-again saints, God would be seated at the right hand of God according to Ephesians chapter 2. Satan hates the message with a vicious hatred about what God is doing for the child of God. And he wants people to think he won't do it. And when we try to get that message out, which is simple, the gospel, the mystery hidden in the old age, the gospel of Christ in our age, he hates that vicious, that message. He hates that those justified believers in Jesus Christ are to be joined to Christ as one flesh, making up the perfect man with a heavenly citizenship to appear with Christ one day in glory. And we see that in Ephesians 2, 5 through 6, Ephesians 4, 13, Ephesians 5, 31, 32, Philippians 2, verse 20, 21, Colossians 1, 3, verse 1 through 4. God the Father wants every Christian to make known this message. That's what he says in Ephesians. Go back with me in Ephesians chapter 3, and you'll see what he's talking about. In Ephesians chapter 3, look down with me. And you see verse 9 again. He says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship and the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Why? To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers and heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. The church is that manifold wisdom of God Almighty. Here we see the mystery of God's will in something different than the prophesied kingdom of the nation of Israel. You compare Acts chapter 3, verse 19 and 26 with Amos 9, 11 through 15. And you're going to find that in Amos, he's talking about the restoration of Israel and bringing them back to where they would be. But when you look in the era of Acts 3, 19 and 26, in this particular case, turn there, you see he's talking about what Jesus Christ has done. Acts chapter 3 again, and we look down in verse 19. In verse 19, Peter is preaching. He said, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Peter is preaching now that every individual Jew has a right to trust Christ as Savior like the Gentiles do, even though God is still going to deal with Israel later at another time. And so here we see the mystery of God's will is something different than the prophesied kingdom of the nation of Israel. Today, God is building up the body of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 9 to 13. And Christ will, listen to me, return to this earth after the close of this age and the dispensation of grace to build again the tabernacle of David. He's going to have that, listen, by the time we get through, if not before, the tribulation period, the tabernacle or the temple is going to be replaced. It's going to be built because the temple will survive during the millennial reign. It doesn't have to be there because it's necessary. It's there because it's just there for the purpose of Israel to do whatever God's going to do with the temple. He promised them that. And that's where Christ himself was set on the throne in Jerusalem at that particular time. And so when I see what's happening now, I know that Christ is coming back. And I know when he comes back in Revelation chapter 19, we see that. He comes back to this earth and he's Lord of lords and King of kings. And he will replace that wonderful place that Israel had in the Old Testament that they lost, even though we know Titus destroyed the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD, they still didn't never have what they had when they were started back in the Old Testament. The tabernacle, and then finally got the first temple. They had temples, but the temple was never looked in eyes. The leadership had changed it so much it was all based on what it was doing anyhow. Because if they'd have done it like it should have been done, they'd have recognized the Messiah. So what happens? You start changing things, and when the Messiah came, they recognized it. And I'll say the last point. That's what the danger of our day. This book is right. It's been held down through the years and preserved for our day. And William, today, now, it's been changed more than ever. And when you begin to change it, you make it less right in the eyes of men. And when you have that place where you have truth and error, and in the eyes of men to make a decision with the outward expression that Satan has to get us to try to deny the things of God, and our society do the same thing, God could burglarize our will, but he won't. He's working that no matter what Satan does, there may be masses of people follow him and end up in the place of departed spirits like the rich man did, a place one day in the lake of fire, but God still said, right in the midst of what he's doing, he's working out his perfect will. He's got a remnant in that, and Satan hates it, because as long as God's remnant is here in the church and the Holy Spirit using us like he wants to, ladies and gentlemen, we're sore. We are a thorn in Satan's flesh. It's not that we have the power, but we're a thorn there. And he hates everything we do. And by the way, he can't change us. He can influence us, but he can't change us. So what does he do? He changes people in position who have the trust and government to change, which makes laws that puts us in bondage. And that's the reason Paul's in bondage. It's not because he's done something illegal wrong. It's because of the gospel of Christ. And Paul said, I'm bound in these chains. But you can't bound the word of God. And Satan hates that. Aren't you glad you're saved? Stand to your feet, please. Father in heaven, thank you again for the precious word of God. And Lord, we scatter a little bit here like a gun, but at the same time, it's scattered enough to let us understand there's a mystery that's been hid by God in the Old Testament as he dealt even with his nation that he loved. And Lord, there's a mystery. And we come to the New Testament. And when Jesus was here himself, he said for a little while, because Jesus had to go to Calvary and die and be raised again for that mystery could be unfolded. And then you begin to show it. Peter was one of the first one in Acts 10 to give to Cornelius' house, and the Gentile was saved. And then we see later, you called the Apostle Paul. Of course, you called him in Acts 9. And Lord, it was a little later for him as he went over with you 3 years that you might, the Lord Jesus teach him himself. And he became apostle to the Gentiles. And Lord, I thank you so much for that. And I thank you, I long today to see Paul, and I think others will too. I know we want to see the Lord, but I want to see people like that. Lord, I hope that someday that we'll begin to understand Scripture just because, not because we need it then, because it's just something God will show us how people did serve God. And we'll see how Paul, when he heard that voice, and maybe just what he thought, and what went on at the time that when he wanted to go one direction and the Holy Spirit served. Holy Spirit led him where he went before, and now he's going in a direction. And Holy Spirit stops him. And then he just calls him over to come over to Macedonia. And then Paul right then, knowing who it was called him, changed his course and did what God said for him to do. And many souls were saved. Lord, I know in this life, we have the Word of God, we have the Spirit of God. And because of that, when we start into direction sometimes, we pray before that, we ask your will, and we feel sometimes what happens is the will of God. But then we have to realize sometimes God will make a checkpoint. Because, Lord, we're in the flesh all the time. Flesh does more to us than we think it does. And Satan can take the flesh and make us think something's right when it's wrong. Lord, we need you. Lord, we need you in these last days more than ever before. Holy Spirit, we need to understand this, but please help us. I mean, we can come together and rejoice together in defense that we're saved and rejoice we're going to heaven and give you honor and praise. But, Lord, there's a time we need to be instructed. Help us see the truth of this book deep down in our soul, which would settle us in an ungodly world, settle us in the trouble and disasters of the world as we see God's plan, and we'll understand that God's doing something now that he declared and predestined before he ever made man. We're in the center of your will when we obey you, and we can't obey you without knowing this book. Please give us that understanding. Not let it puff us up, Lord. A lot of knowledge will be puffed up. We don't use it and work it out. And Father, the worst thing in the world to get knowledge and puff us up. But instead of puffing us up, help it make us move and do the things you call us to do. help your people this week, not only them but myself, in turn, as we go in this world, to be thought, help the mind, bring to light the scriptures in everything we have to face, that we might claim the promises, because the scriptures gives us the authority, because it is the word of God. And that's what Jesus used against Satan in Matthew 4. Every time Satan come to him and tried to get him to a trick to follow or do something that he said do, Jesus quoted the word of God to him. And Lord, that's what we need it too. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.